Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We care for this humble project as if it were a vulnerable egg whose shell can only grow more resilient with the help of your nice Apple podcast reviews. I'm Cody Narvison, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry. You can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Sui. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Sui.
Not with us today is a super producer who didn't graduate from grade school because he was homeschooled, Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. The Warren Commission thought they had an open and shut case, 3 bullets, 1 assassin, but 2 unpredictable things happened that day that made it virtually impossible. One, the 8mm home movie taken by Abraham Zapruder while standing by the grassy knoll. 2, the 3rd wounded man, James Tegg, who was nicked by a fragment standing near the triple underpass. The time frame, 5.6 seconds, determined by the Zapruder film, left no possibility of a 4th shot, so the shot or fragment that left a superficial wound on Tegg's cheek had to come from the 3 shots fired from the 6th floor depository. That leaves just 2 bullets. And we know one of them was the fatal headshot that killed Kennedy, so now a single bullet remains. A single bullet now has to account for the remaining 7 wounds in Kennedy and Connolly, but rather than admit to a conspiracy or investigate further, the Warren Commission chose to endorse the theory put forth by an ambitious junior counselor, Arlen Specter, one of the grossest lies ever forced on the American people. We've come to know it as the magic bullet theory. This single bullet explanation is the foundation of the Warren Commission's claim of a lone assassin. Once you conclude the magic bullet could not create all 7 of those wounds, you'd have to conclude that there was a 4th shot and a 2nd rifle. And if there was a 2nd rifleman, then by definition, kids had to be spelled with a Z. Also with us today is a very special guest, a 90s cartoon fanatic and a friend of Emily's. So shout outs. Please welcome to the show, Dylan Gerber. Dylan, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Really happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Yeah, of course. And I guess kind of before we jump on in, I'm curious to hear about your sort of, your mileage with Hey Arnold, or, you know, the sort of 90s cartoon, atmosphere as a whole, as we've sort of explored, the possibility of taking on this sort of, podcast, this project during quarantine. You know, we had different backgrounds, and everybody that we brought on has been sort of different, like senses of mileage with this. And obviously the yearning for nostalgia plays into all this, but I guess what are some of your big Hey Arnold related memories, or I guess, you know, anything that you wanted to illustrate about that would be hugely fascinating for me and probably anybody else listening.
Oh, sure. I mean, Arnold was like a big role model for me as a kid, and like the whole show was, you know, just so cool. You see so many characters, or saw back then so many characters that you didn't see in any other shows. For me, it was my grandma had cable, but I didn't. So every time we went to grandma's, I would probably spend more time watching Nickelodeon than with my grandma, which is maybe a little sad in retrospect. But I have very fond memories of watching Hey Arnold at my grandma's. I grew up with it, and I am a huge cartoon fanatic. I watch cartoons and think about them more than most adults probably should. I, you know, casually watched it over the years, and then like you guys did, I started watching it again, kind of front to back, over the pandemic, 'cause, you know, why not revisit some old friends? So, Yeah, pretty near and dear to me since I was a child.
That rules. Yeah, old friends and thinking about animated programming more than an adult maybe probably does or should. You're in the right place. And that place is here. And I should say we are here to talk about episode 72 of Hey Arnold. For those of you keeping track at home, that is season 4, episode 12, going by production code order. We're going to start, as we always do, with episode A, which is called an extremely goofy movie, or excuse me, Billy Madison, or sorry, Back to School. Back to School is the name of the episode. Original air date, September 11th, 1999. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. After Grandpa tells Arnold that he never got his grade school diploma, Arnold convinces him to go back to... Excuse me, I was going to read this exactly as it was written, which is Arnold convinces him to come to go back to school at PS 118. Thank you, Jonathan Wikipedia. And as we always do, shouting out the folks who made this episode possible. Today, that means Frank Weiss, who directed this one, and the three-headed monster who got writing credit for this episode. We got Joe and Solibear, Craig Bartlett, and Steve Vixton. These three guys, maybe you've heard of them, but shout outs all around. And let's get into it. Harry, we'll start with you. What did you think about this episode?
Well, this is an episode that we'll never forget. All right. I really like this episode. I think it's like kind of a quintessential season 4 episode. I think that like, I love that we now have sort of identified that Grandpa is such a beloved character that he needs to get his own episode like once every 10 episodes or so. I think that this is like a really unique concept to, well, not unique in the sense that it's never been done before, as you shouted out, Cody, but unique in the sense that it really builds off of a pre-established sort of legacy of these characters in the show. It's the sort of episode that really only can happen later in a series, right? Because it's like we know Stinky and Sid and even characters like Principal Warts and Wolfgang and Mr. Simmons, and getting to see these characters whom we've never seen interact with Phil finally have that sort of like what would happen if moment is a lot of fun. And I really love that this episode is so funny and so comedic without ever sort of like, I think it would have been really easy to punch down and to sort of make fun of Phil as somebody who is not educated, you know, but it never really does that. In fact, it really like demonstrates that his quest for knowledge, silly as we might think it be, is for an 81-year-old to want an elementary school diploma, it like never mocks that, right? Like not anybody ever really does, except in the fourth grade classroom when the kids sort of like laugh that Arnold's grandpa is in the class. And that's more just because it's embarrassing for Arnold. Nobody at any point in this is like, hey, like, why would a full-grown man want to do this? And I found that really refreshing. And it just made Phil is just such a great dynamic character that it really elevates this episode beyond what it could have been. I love that, for instance, they do this really funny sort of satirical, but weirdly trenchant insight on where sort of like acting out comes from, right? Like he does this whole sort of like teenage rebellion in miniature, and it turns out it's just because he's worried about his own sort of like academic standing. He's worried he's not able to live up to the expectations that Arnold and company have put on him. And it's like, it's so funny that like we get that scene and it is clearly very funny. I mean, at one point he goes out on a quote unquote date to sneak into a PG-13 movie with two sixth grade girls. And Arnold's like, Grandpa, you're 81 years old. and he spray paints Steely Phil on a dumpster, which is so good. I think about that all the time. But like, there is something like kind of hilariously insightful about the arc that Grandpa goes on this, about how sort of like, you're never too old to sort of like have insecurities or to have inadequacies. And you're also, it's never too late to confront those and overcome them. There's something like really heartening about Grandpa's treatment throughout the show in that context, right? Where it's like, Grandpa is a character who is constantly learning and growing and changing as much as Arnold does. Although obviously the show definitely sort of like, pokes that in the eye by having him regress backward comedically at the end. But, you know, like that's just another good bit and another good joke, right? Like the idea that Grandpa never really learns the lesson, but he's always there to learn it, right? And he's always picking something up. And especially the way that this our show sets up sort of non-traditional relationships, that really sings, I think, in every grandpa episode. And I think it really sings here. And so, you know, I was sort of I was feeling a little bit down on season four after the last couple of episodes we've done. And I was like so relieved by this episode because I watched it and I was like, oh, yeah, it's still Hey Arnold. We're still going to get bangers. But I want to know what you all thought of it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I guess, yeah, Emily, you next. Do you kind of like Harry? Do you feel like this was a nice upturn for season four? How'd you feel about this one?
Yes, completely agreed. This is like a breath of fresh air to call back to our other episode. Yeah, no, I love this episode. I think it's a great one and clear that Craig was in the writer's seat for this one too. I think just because of all the really funny grandpa-y lines we get throughout the episode. But this also, because it's a Craig episode and maybe because we've just been thinking so much about season four lately, it feels like such an amalgam of like all of season four episodes that we've learned a lot from, or that we've had a harder time with. But basically, I'll just run down all the ones it reminds me of because I feel like it's such a mix. So we had Oscar Can't Read in season four, with, you know, adults tackling, like Grandpa in this one, they're tackling these childhood milestones, where Oscar is learning how to read, which is huge for him. Grandpa is tackling like challenging long division and math and going back to get his grade school diploma here. So to Harry's point too, I think it's a great lesson that it's like, you're never too old to learn new things and, to keep growing as a person. And that's so great to see through the lens of Grandpa and so much fun to see through his character. But we also had Veterans Day in the last episode where we got similar to that with Grandpa's like humorous flashbacks of World War II that we had a little hard time with. In this one, we get some humorous flashbacks with the Great Depression and Grandpa growing up in that era and being like, yeah, we had to make toys out of dirt. And yeah, but just like, I think this is a funnier version of that, maybe better fit to this episode. We also had student teacher in this season where Olga was Helga's teacher. And so Helga is dealing with like the lack of boundaries in the classroom from her own family. And in this episode, we have Grandpa in Arnold's classroom dealing with the same thing. Though we get some awesome lines from him when he's in that classroom. Especially when he comes back more as like the bad boy a little bit later, and or he's just like trying to be a little bit cooler as he hangs out in school longer. And he's like, "Yo, Arnold, my main man, word up!" And I just like I could picture like Craig writing certain lines like that for Grandpa. There's a few throughout this, but also one other one. It reminded me of Phoebe Skips too because she was promoted up to the fifth grade. And that other kid was promoted to the sixth grade. And here we see Grandpa doing the same thing, getting his diploma very quickly. But yeah, not without the whole Eugene goes bad moment too from season two. So I guess this really, it reminded me a lot of season four episodes that I just touched on. But we also had, I don't know, kind of going back to the roots in earlier seasons with yeah, the leather jacket and ascent into bad boy coolness here with Grandpa. Quit bumming my trip, man. yeah, I just really like this episode. I think great lessons. Great to just see Grandpa hanging out at school. And also to Harry's point, just like not being treated weird about it for going back to school. And no one was like giving him a hard time or anything. And I think that's great. And it's also just fun because we're seeing Grandpa interact with all of these characters he doesn't usually get to interact with. So, yeah, Grandpa-centric one is great. Here we see him with Arnold's friends more than he usually is. Also, like Wolfgang, Connie and Maria, Simmons, who doesn't want to hug at the end, and Principal Warts, who he has a great scene with. So I feel like there's also so much that happens in this episode. I have so many notes on it. But yeah, really great. And I can't wait to hear your thoughts, Cody and Dylan.
Yeah, likewise. And hey, just in the same way that Grandpa devolves into a cool bad boy, we've got our cool or a cool bad boy of our own from the 90s, Dylan. What did you think about this episode, Grandpa Phil going back to school?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was just, yeah, a wonderful episode, especially in this season. It kind of packed a punch. I had a lot of themes from older episodes. Like you called out Emily, I immediately thought of Eugene Goes Bad. He's got the exact same jacket. He even pulls the fire alarm, which I believe Eugene did. So yeah, same kind of bad boy thing going on there. First thing I thought of before I even watched it, I wondered if it was had anything to do or is based loosely off of the Rodney Dangerfield movie, Back to School. Because he goes back to school as an older man to college, though, with his son. And anyways, thought of some themes, or saw some similar themes between those. I loved how it really highlighted how much of a kid Grandpa is and how much of an adult Arnold is. You know, they have these roles. They've always had these roles. And you kind of just take it for granted that the certain parental hierarchy. But in this one, it really highlights how Grandpa is a goofy, zany kid. Y'all were talking about how he fit right in with the other kids. No one said anything. And it's because he is a kid. He's making up wild stories. Like, he's just an 81-year-old kid. And yeah, I just loved seeing that come out in him. And then later in the episode when he's having a really hard time, just loved seeing Arnold, you know, console him and counsel him. And it was just a really nice reversal because that's usually the role Grandpa's in. Yeah, just I felt like it added some depth and really highlighted the kind of intricacies of each of their characters and their relationship too. You know, they have a complicated relationship. Just thought it was great. I also loved, there are a lot of good one-liners. Grandpa's always got great one-liners. Arnold says, "Oh, you've still got plenty of brain cells, Grandpa." And he says, "No, not since Woodstock." And then you hear the Jimi Hendrix guitar, you know, things like that. He's always got those one-liners. And I got to call out, y'all might be more in the know than me, but do they always have a bidet? Or was that just a joke they threw in? Because they're in the bathroom in the beginning, and when he spills his guts, you know, Grandpa says, "Sit down on the bidet." And I don't know if that was a one-off joke they just threw in, or if that was in other scenes and past episodes.
I was going to shout that out. It's the first time I've noticed that. That was a very funny joke, though.
Yeah.
It really got me.
Yeah, the idea that they have this bidet in this crazy tenant house, that's pretty funny. So I like that one a lot.
And very timely because this is not a joke. I've got a bidet in the mail and it should be arriving tomorrow. So I'm going to be living large pretty soon, folks. Y'all did a great job characterizing that. Dylan, a couple of things you said really stood out to me as well. And I think everybody gestured at this a little bit. The sort of means through which this episode and its writing and its characters and all the various facets pulled together to kind of commit to this bit, like this episode is, it's one big, it feels like a joke, but it almost plays like the kind of like genre homage episodes that we've seen this show do in the past, where it's like, oh, it's a 12 Angry Men thing. Oh, it's like a gangster thing. You know, or like a Goodfellas kind of thing. You know, the fact that they dispense, you know, Craig and friends decided to dispense with the whole, Grandpa is not just like an old man going back to school. He's like a person going back to school, and we're going to treat him, don't like you said, like he's just like an 81-year-old kid. And so Principal Wartz's interactions with Grandpa are just like, "Hey, punk, like this better be the last time that I see you in here." And like that commitment to it, to the whole game of the episode wouldn't work nearly as well if Arnold and Grandpa hadn't been characterized in their kind of particular ways up to this point, where they could really easily swap roles. It's just eliminates a lot of steps that they have to do on the writing side of it. They can just kind of ease into it. And a lot of this feels really natural, especially with Grandpa and Dan Castellaneta. I feel like it's every other, you know, Grandpa as the star of the episode's a star of the episode episodes, all the episodes like that, where we're shouting out how, you know, how great he is, how talented he is. The line readings in this episode is no different. And I think the commitment to, I feel weird to say, just like the commitment to the bit. I mean, the fact that they commit to it so early means that they are able to slide in these, you know, bangers of lines and really play it serious. Like when Arnold and Grandpa have that scene at the end, you know, Arnold says, oh, like, what about your dream? Grandpa says, I woke up. It's like, excuse me, this is Hey Arnold. which, you know, they do get deep every so often. But no, I love this episode. And, I think, you know, Harry, to your point, I also love that it doesn't punch down. And my first thought was, oh, wow, it's such a novel thing that they are introducing something real like the Great Depression and using that as a jumping off point to tell a story when they literally did that with Veterans Day, the previous episode. But this episode just, the approach that this episode took just feels, a lot different, a lot better, a lot less patriotic, which, I think is a good thing. Yeah, I think heartening was a word that you used, Harry, or that somebody used. But yeah, this episode's great. And I like it a lot.
Yeah, something that Emily said and then something that Dylan said both really stuck out to me. I called this episode really fresh and refreshing. I think it's so smart, Emily, that like you shouted out the fact that like I think like almost every season four episode, it does feel fresh, right? But it's also like a remix of like a bunch of different episodes, which is like increasingly what all of Hey Arnold is starting to feel like, right? It's like they have these really well-established themes and all of the episodes kind of like rhyme with one another almost, right? We're like, we're always calling back to things that have happened before or characterization moments that have been pre-established or re-established and just using them to sort of make new comments. That's sort of the season 4 or 5 version of what seasons 1 and 2 did with genre, right? Where like in seasons 1 and 2, they would take established genres, like Cody, you pointed out, and sort of slot the characters into them. They're almost not doing that as much anymore because the genres that they're inserting them into are sort of like Hey Arnold genres, right? It's like, we're going to do this Hey Arnold episode, but we're going to do it with this character. And in the process, you're going to kind of see all of these new things about them. And then I just like it specifically. The way that you characterized Phil as like a big kid is so smart, right? Because it's like, that's, this episode and in general, the show is like such a testament to the strength of the character writing that like on paper, like a grandpa of main character goes back to school would be such a different episode than this is. But because it's Phil, we already know what's going to happen and it like basically writes itself, right? Like the characters are all so well established that you know exactly how it's going to happen. And it's funny and never surprising. Like I love that he kicks the ball so hard that, Wolfgang respects him because it's like, yeah, of course that's what happened, right? Of course, Sid and Stinky would fall in with him immediately because like, why not? I think just like the really heartening thing about this episode for me, that I think you alluded to a little bit, Cody, but it is like, if you're never, I called it never too old to make another mistake or to have inadequacies or to keep learning and growing, but that's almost not quite right, right? I think it's more like just know that this is always going to be true and that's okay, right? Like I really love that because I think especially as a kid, I was always sort of under the anxious impression that I had to be quote unquote complete by the time I was an adult, right? It was like, I've got to get over all of the things that are wrong with me so that I can be like a full grown man. Otherwise I won't make it. And so like, honestly, to have representation of grandpa, right? Somebody who's like literally in the same boat Arnold is, just, you know, he's just 71 years older. It's kind of like, it's really comforting, right? It's sort of like, oh, I get it. Like I could end up being somebody like grandpa who's still sort of like muddling through and figuring things out and comically missing the point. But that doesn't mean that I wouldn't be a good person or, you know what I mean? There's something really, really comforting about that, especially, for kids in a weird way, I think.
Yeah, no, I think you're totally right. We've shouted out the, unless anybody else has a different pivot, you know, we've talked about, and hyped up the great writing of this episode. A lot of that came, from Grandpa, admittedly, you know, from my own mouth. I think I said that a few minutes ago. But I'm thankful that Craig and friends, I always say Craig and friends, that Craig and friends are smart enough to kind of like distribute that and share the load with all the characters, just to kind of raise the floor of everybody. Even Stinky saying something as inane as, he's like, oh, he's good at ciphering and he has his own car, which, like, I don't know if that's from something or or what, but it's just, I mean, I know I have a car. I don't know if I'm good at ciphering, but I'm glad that, you know, Stinky values those things in people. Yeah, the building up and making fun, or not making fun of, but like building up Grandpa as a funny character in this funny situation, like it, having that come from everybody, not just from him, I think sets this episode apart. Not that it would be bad otherwise, but I just wanted to call that out. Emily, what's up? How are you doing? I have no segue. Tell us what you think. Yeah.
What's
hey,
up,
what's
Cody?
Up? Word up. How's it hanging?
What's up? What's
cool
up?
Cool sling. My main man. No. Please continue.
Oh my God. My Wi-Fi is struggling too, so we keep talking over each other on my end of things. But what's up? What's up, everybody? I was going to say to those points that it's so great too that this episode, yeah, is building up Grandpa and not punching down and all of that. It's playing to his strengths. And you're not just, I mean, he doesn't like long division. He has to deal with that. That's a separate issue for many of us. But it, kind of like tutoring Torvald or something, it's like playing into what he's great at. Like he crushes it at kickball on the playground during recess. He's great at getting quizzed about like Duluth, Minnesota or whatever, and Bob Dylan, or he's shouting out like Grandpa specific like pop culture references and tidbits and stuff. And he writes the dates for one of the wars right away on the chalkboard in class. It just like he has all of his own knowledge. He's a full grown adult. He's 81 or whatever we were saying. So I think it's good that they build all of that up too. And it's not, yeah, he's not like shamed or anything like that for the position he's in going back to grade school.
Yeah, the shamelessness almost plays as a motif, and it, like, I feel like this whenever it's an episode that Craig has a more active hand in, where it's like it almost feels like a test, not to just like throw a really boring metaphor, but just like this episode being, like you said before, Emily, being sort of an amalgamation of episodes and moments and like plot devices that we've seen in the show before, specifically this season. And also like character threads, just like the ease in which we can believe that, that Grandpa would fall in with Wolfgang and like be his buddy because he's good at kickball. And like Grandpa is shameless about that. And in a way, the writers are also shameless about, like, we used to throw out the term flex a lot more earlier in this podcast. We need to bring that back more because they're still flexing a lot. And sort of the shamelessness when, you know, Grandpa has a misstep, but he can be a cool guy too. And he can court sixth grade girls and take them to PG-13 movies. We're just going to sidestep past that, because his line reading of "I'm going to sneak into a PG-13 movie" was extremely funny. It was almost like everything that happened, you know, every 45 seconds, they threw something else out, just like, hey, does this play? And like, they all played, like it all worked. And that's, you know what? They passed this exam with flying colors. Again, very boring metaphor. Sorry for that.
I just had to call out that Grandpa was going out with the two sixth graders who I believe dated Arnold and Gerald in a previous episode.
Connie and Maria. Yep.
All right. There you go. You even got the names right on. That seems a little shady on Grandpa's part.
Yeah, doesn't he know that Arnold and them have a history with Connie and Maria?
Yeah.
What a Weisenheimer. No, that's a clutch. That's a clutch shout out. They've been popping up a lot in season four, Connie and Maria.
They really have. And in the shot when Grandpa's going into the sixth grade, I just had to call that out too, because that was so funny to me when they cut to all the faces of the sixth graders and they look like Harry was saying in the watch party, they're all like 30 years old and they have these evil smirks on their face and they're looking at him like they're so tough and so wise and way too cool to be in there.
Yeah,
but they're just in sixth grade. Such a funny shot.
The kid who's sitting directly behind Phil looks like he's in Hell's Angels, right? Like he's this giant dude wearing like a leather jacket and he's got like greased back hair and he like starts like pushing on Grandpa's chair as soon as he sits down. Yeah, that's such a funny scene. A lot of really funny moments in this. You mentioned it earlier, Emily, but one of my favorite jokes of the entire episode is in the Great Depression flashback where it turns out that the bat that he got for Christmas was literally made of dirt. So he takes a swing and tries to hit the ball with it, and it just like evaporates in his hand. Like it just crumbles to dust. Really good stuff. Man, this episode is really firing on all cylinders.
It really is. I guess more formally open the floor. I will formally open the floor to any other lingering shout outs or threads. A remark based on one shout out that was already issued. I always chalked up the sort of animating fifth graders and older as like, you know, 20, 30 somethings as like, oh, this is how kids see people who are older than them. So the fact that even an 81-year-old man walks into a classroom full of sixth graders and sees them as like the most intimidating bunch of people imaginable, pretty funny, in my humble opinion.
So stinking funny. I would like to shout out when Grandpa is in Principal Wartz's office. So this is at the point where he is in sixth grade. He's been fully promoted, and he's the bad boy now with the leather jacket. He's hanging backwards in the chair in the office and blowing bubblegum bubbles and like not listening to anything Principal Wartz is saying and then being like, well, yeah, maybe I am looking for trouble. And oh, it's just so funny to me the way they've drawn him up for that whole journey. And then also shout out more randomly to Grandma's strawberry pudding with the whipped cream and the cherries on top. Just looked really good. It looked kind of like a milkshake, but I think it was pudding based on the cups that they were eating it in. Yeah, shout out Grandpa and Grandma for sure in this one.
I want to give a shout out to all the very inaccurate Minnesota facts. Someone mentioned earlier, Duluth is the capital, and then the state motto melts in your mouth, not in your hand, which then they use as a callback at the very end for his presidential campaign motto. So anyways, I don't know what the Minnesota state motto is right now, but we should change it.
It should be. It should absolutely be melts in your mouth, not in your hand. Yeah, I agree.
I can't remember it offhand. I think it has something to do with like pee pee poo poo. They changed it very recently. Not to like walk out on y'all. We do need to take a break. I checked the movie listings online, and there is a PG-13 movie playing at my local Cineplex that I'm gonna try to sneak into with all my cool sixth grade friends. So don't touch that dial, and we'll be right back in like hour and a half, hour 45 minutes. See ya. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 72B up next here, and that episode is called Egg Story. Original air date, September 11th, 1999. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Arnold and Helga must care for an egg for a school project about parenting. Meanwhile, Rhonda and Harold are project partners and must also take care of an egg. And once again, shouting out the folks who made this episode possible. Frank Weiss directed this episode as well. And writing credits go to Michelle Lamoureux, Steve Vixton, and the first-time credited writer shout-out on this particular program, Celia Bonaduce. Welcome to the show, and shout-outs all around. Emily, let's start with you this time. What did you think about Egg Story?
Oh, yeah. I think this is a pretty nice one. I do want to back up, though, just with an anecdote, and it's Helga-related, but just to give you a little sneak peek into Dylan and my friendship and how Dylan's on the podcast, we were recently at an underground rave, or I'll just say, what, a secret rave, but it's not a secret, I guess, because I'm talking about it on a podcast, but We were talking a lot about Nickelodeon cartoons and like that era and just the golden era of stuff. And obviously we're talking about Hey Arnold and just like being out on the loudest possible dance floor at a rave. It's super, super loud. Like you can't hear hardly anything that people are saying, but we were talking at least loud enough for me to hear that Dylan was asking me specifically about Helga G. Pataki. As like as loud as possible in the middle of dance floor, just like it was such a wonderful moment in time to hear that, and I had to like pause to laugh and just like solidify that in my memory. Also reminded me of a friend doing something similar at the same rave, but talking about Godzilla a lot as loudly as possible so that you could hear what they were saying. But yeah, just a really great moment to talk about Arnold on the dance floor. I'd highly recommend that. So thank you. Shout out to Dylan for doing that. And this episode, we have a Helga episode now. So it's that was all related because here we are back with Helga G. Pataki and her struggle to have a crush on Arnold and never be able to tell him how she really feels ever, never, ever. And not even in this episode can she do it. But, yeah, this one reminds me of Biosquare from season one, which was one of the last episodes in that first season. So it's kind of like revisiting the Arnold and Helga dynamic of them with the science project. But in that one, they were dealing with an ant farm in the Biosquare biodome. And here they're walking around with an egg all over town and trying to keep it alive. I was going to say afloat. Trying to keep that egg afloat and just trying to keep it, you know, not cracked, everything like that. I think, too, Harry pointed this out in the watch party, but they have a whole B plot here of Harold and Rhonda. And, like, the fact that they even have time for all of that is commendable. But I also thought Harold was especially funny in this episode. He was making me crack up at just his line reads, especially to Arnold. When he's going, like, man, Arnold, you got partnered with Helga. She's always calling you names and picking on you. And just, I can't do it like he does, but he's so freaking funny the way he reads. I wish I could remember his voice actor's name at the moment, but maybe someone else will. And two, when he's in his kitchen and he's just getting so hungry and trying not to eat the egg that's all dressed up with Rhonda's costume. And he's like smiling so big when he opens the fridge and then immediately frowns when he sees the entire fridge somehow is empty. And just like, you see his different face and different perspectives of, food containers and like opening the cupboards. Just so funny. Also Rhonda calls him and is like, how's my little darling this morning? And Harold just immediately goes, oh, I'm fine. Like, and she meant the beautiful pink dressed up egg in the tutu. But anywho, aside from how much Harold was making me laugh, I think this is a good one for Arnold and Helga's trajectory or what have you of will they, won't they, will she ever tell him her feelings. She really thought about it as she has done in the past. She thought about telling him like on the bus about wanting to work with him more and be like nicer. And you have the super zoom on her face when they're on the bus where she's thinking to herself, like, don't get mad, don't get mad. Like, this would be your chance to be nice to him for once. And there's, like, the pause while it's extremely tight zoomed on her face. And then she, like, scowls in the big zoom. And then it goes back and she's just, like, a jerk to him, like always. But yeah, so I think it's a nice episode. I don't know that it's doing anything particularly new, but it's definitely enjoyable of a watch. And we get a really good jazz number two at the end when Arnold and Helga are looking for that egg that's maybe or maybe not the egg they started with. Yeah, the egg. That's my synopsis. I will kick it back to you now.
Nice. Wow. Emily, a lot of what you said really brought up a lot of things in my mind that I can't wait to dig further into. But Harry, I'm going to let you go first. Harry, what did you think about this? Omelette. Y'all got that right. Like that was.
Oh, that was.
That was extremely funny. Just, okay. Harry, what did you think about this episode?
I have to be honest. I was about to say, like, I thought from the cadence of your voice that you were building up to an egg joke, but it really just completely got past me. But thank you for shouting it out because it is extremely hilarious. Also extremely hilarious, this episode, which I like a whole lot. I think that I agree. I definitely got big BioSquare vibes. This episode does something that I was really excited about. It's something that we don't see a lot of on the show, and it's something that is sort of like evidence of the arc of Arnold and Helga's relationship moving forward, which is that Arnold is the instigator in this situation, right? It's super out of character for Arnold, except that Arnold has this increasingly glaring blind spot when it comes to Helga, right? Like, she is the only person that can get under his skin, that can sort of get him to renounce his Buddhahood, right? And actually sort of like, go a little bit, be a little frustrated and let the cracks show. I think that there's like a really great irony, especially for longtime watchers, to listen to Helga put on her earnest voice and be like trying to get across to, Arnold, and it just not to work because Arnold is completely no selling her, and he's no selling her because of social pressure, essentially, right? Like, he doesn't want to be kowtowed to her because people like Harold were making fun of him about it. I think that like, Arnold comes across as so much more human in this episode than he usually does. And I think that like making that contrast with Helga to demonstrate like the, I can't remember the other episode, but the episode where he ends up dipping her pigtail in the ink. I think that like, it's so important to show that because that's sort of like evidence in its own way that Arnold has these reciprocated feelings, right? That he just can't sort of like identify yet, or that he's just not quite mature enough to reckon with. So that was really interesting. And I think that like, I just think that, their relationship in this episode when they're looking for the egg and they're yelling at each other is really, really poignantly characterized, right? Because it's all about Arnold is still Arnold. And even though he instigated with Helga, he's coming at it from a little bit of a point of view, like, why are you like this? Like, I want to help you not be this way. And he doesn't understand that the fact that Arnold is sort of needling her about her personality is what is setting her off, right? And so like, we arrive at this really good, place where the sort of like particularities of their personalities are like perfectly aligned to be disjointed, right? Or like perfectly set up to create this irreconcilable tension. And the B plot between Rhonda and Harold, it sort of like parallels that in a really interesting way, right? Where it's like, it's an episode sort of about, prejudice, even if it's well warranted being destructive, right? I mean, Arnold just assumes Helga's not going to put her best foot forward. And then Helga she takes the bait basically, right? Because she can't overcome, Arnold picking on her in this way. So it's a really dynamic character study episode, I think. And, I really like also the way it, resolves. I love that Helga and, Arnold find this common footing. I love that they're both pretty stupid in this episode. They're just kind of doofs, right? It's like, first Helga and Arnold leave the egg on the bus. Then Arnold just straight up lets it drop out of his pocket. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, if you just spent all of this time tracking down this egg, wouldn't you like, I'm not letting that thing out of my hand, out of my sight, right? But Arnold is just, he's so in his head about fighting with Helga that the whole like auspice of the project has completely left his mind. I kind of loved that, right? Like, I loved how quickly the sort of framing of this episode fell away just so that we could have this like, this really like sort of crunchy, like dense episode about like characters that are coming to loggerheads, right? I even thought that like the B plot was weirdly moving. Like, I loved, it was very funny, but then like when Harold is like, they're playing the Pagliacci music and he's like, I'm so sorry, I was so hungry, like, I'll make it up to you, I tried so hard to put this back together. And like, Rhonda is like, she has this compassion for him out of nowhere where she's like, you know, you did try really hard and it is really cute. It was like, why am I tearing up in the club right now? Right. It's like, this is like great, great stuff. And just like a really great example of also like just using and maybe even sort of like manipulating and breaking the characterizations that we know so well in just the right ways to produce these great comedic moments that aren't, out of sort of lockstep with the rest of the show, but are just unexpected enough to be really enlightening. I think this episode and the last episode were both really good. This one in particular is one that I'm really, really glad I returned to because I forgot this element of Arnold and Helga's personalities where as sort of right for one another as they are, just because, or like particularly because they're right for each other, they're both very well suited for setting each other off, right? Helga's sort of like the one person that Arnold can't overcome. And Arnold's interpretation of Helga sets off Helga more than anybody else, right? And so like it's this great like time bomb situation. And it's really fun to see them work through that, I think. And like maybe a sign that they're becoming more mature, right? Just a really good episode.
Really good episode. And if you thought I was out of awkward egg transitions, then the yolk's on you. Dylan, what did you think about this episode?
I loved it. You know, sort of like you two touched on, really nice to see a little more depth. It's always nice to see deeper into the relationship of Arnold and Helga. Although I had a little different take on it. I think Arnold finally created some boundaries. And that he is very, very much a people pleaser. He never wants to upset anyone. You know, he kind of always goes with the flow, extends himself very greatly to help other people out. And he just kind of had enough of the bullying of her picking on him. And so right out the gate, he just kind of drew some boundaries. And that didn't go well. So I don't think he was a bad guy. I don't think he instigated, you know, this argument. I think he stood up for himself after years of bullying. And, you know, I agree in a sense that it does, you know, it's sort of like this forced relationship they're put on in this forced, you know, simulated marriage or cohabitation. And to me, it just showed how toxic their relationship is. They're fighting all the time. They're arguing all the time. They're not on the same page. They're not honest with each other. And the only thing that brings them together is this baby chick, which I got to say, thank God Harold didn't get the fertilized egg with the baby chicken in it. But yeah, anyways, I thought it was it felt uncomfortable because, you know, like you had called out Harry, it's out of Arnold's normal character. It seemed a little bit off. But I think he's learning boundaries. So that was my take. Also, you know, I just gotta call it. Y'all mentioned that Harold had some really funny lines, and just that cut scene when he's looking at the egg and he goes, "I'm not gonna eat it. I'm not gonna eat it. I'm not gonna eat it." And then it just cuts right to the egg in the frying pan. That, you know, classic cut scene there. So. Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. I don't want to be down on Helga because she's got a lot of home issues, as Emily and I talked about at the rave. But I was proud of Arnold for kind of, you know, standing up for himself and not putting up with all that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty well said. And I liked hearing all your takes about this. I should note this episode of Hey Arnold reminded me of a particular episode from my life, specifically ninth grade honors bio when we took care of ducks. That's a classic high school tradition from where I'm from. So shout out to Dennis the Duck. Hope you're doing well. I like this episode a bunch. The one thing that was sort of stuck in my craw, and it's just like a sensibility thing, like a particular mechanic that I've grown to not be huge on. And Arnold is very much in his right for like establishing his boundaries and for being fed up and for doing, you know, as much as he can to communicate these things. And Helga is, you know, of course, in her right in this instance to try to reform and have like a healthier relationship with this boy that she's supposedly in love with. And you know, the fact that those two things intersect is, you know, cosmically and narratively significant and important. It plays for me, it reminded me just too much of like, you know, in a movie, I guess Shrek is the movie that the example, the closest example I can think of, but where like, you know, a character overhears a conversation that like somebody else is having and they misinterpret it. And then like the conflict that stems from that plays out in a certain way for the next like 30 minutes. And it's just obviously this is a little bit different, but like there's a misunderstanding between these two characters and they aren't communicating in they're communicating in the right ways. It's just the timing is off. And then that makes for like the kind of the crux of the conflict it sets them off on the foot that they eventually go out on, where they're both irritable with one another. And then they eventually come together at the end. The way it got started was not, I guess, my preferred, Hey Arnold flavor, but, or I mean, even just like storytelling flavor, but beyond that, I like this episode a whole bunch. I had a load of fun with the B plot, the Rhonda and Harold plot, for all the reasons that all y'all mentioned. I didn't realize how much I had taken from this episode, and just like little moments would kind of be like little flashes in the pan in my brain, over the years, without realizing this is the episode that they called back to. Just the stupidity of Arnold's flyer idea. The scene with Harold pleading with Rhonda, and that, you know, the overly way too dramatic music playing in the background. It's one of my favorite moments from this season up to this point. Honestly, maybe one of my favorite moments from the show. I'm sure I'll probably be talking about this moment when we do our recap at the end of the season. Really liked all of those vibes. Really kind of a really nice and immaculate pairing of episodes, I think, at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up. And Dylan, really awesome counterpoint, because like you're so right, right? And like this is the crux of the episode, is that Arnold is well within his rights, right? It's just like Cody had said, the timing, the thing that feels so uncharacteristic for me, and that actually works for me really well in this episode, is that if anybody is going to get the timing right, it's going to be Arnold, right? Like, I feel like in any other case, for any other character, no matter what had happened, Arnold would be able to put aside this sort of dread that he has, or this sort of knee-jerk need to establish boundaries, or sort of have this prejudiced opinion of how things were going to go. But he just can't, because it's Helga. And I agree, right? Like that's such an interesting indication of both the toxicity of their relationship and the sort of like strange codependence they have for one another, right? It's like, because there's this this mutual feeling that can't be addressed, it's manifesting in all of these sort of like frustrating ways. And I think that itself is like another interesting theme that runs through this episode, right? Is that like these characters are all sort of denying different things, or trying to do something that isn't sort of true. You know, Rhonda is trying to deny that she likes Harold. Harold is trying to deny that he cares about this project, or he's afraid to screw it up, right? Arnold is trying to pretend like he's not especially bothered by Helga, or that he's sort of like he's not the one at fault in any sense, right? Which, you know, he arguably isn't, but then obviously Helga is where she is. And so there's this great sense that like a lot of the episodes, especially in the later series, it's sort of about like how you have to be honest about your own feelings, right? Like there's a really interesting through line there as well. And this sort of like captures in a weirdly mature resonant way what happens in relationships when you don't do that, right? And so it really is. I love that, like, it sets up this frame story to create these relationships, and then it like really goes deep on them. And I really liked that about this episode. It's like, it's really funny and really captivating at the same time, I thought.
I'm so glad we do this podcast, because an episode I wasn't thinking even all that much about is like so clearly a lot deeper than I was at first giving it the credit for. And now I'm thinking a lot about an episode we covered last season in season three with Seth, the episode Girl Trouble. And so if you think about that episode and then compare it to this one, it's kind of like it shows you how far Arnold has grown with his relationship to Helga. In the Girl Trouble episode, Helga is basically, to what Seth's point was, she's like the Wile E. Coyote of that episode. And they're kind of just, she's like throwing things at him, just bullying him in the classroom, but very like physical stuff and throwing stuff back and forth and what have you. And Arnold reacts for the first time pretty much in the whole series to that like aggression, and throws paint back on her. And it's like that whole thing of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Arnold has snapped. I can't believe Arnold is acting this way. And it was like, it had been built up for years of bullying from her. And he reacts to it. But in this episode, he's not even reacting. He's like starting out with what Dylan is saying. He's starting out with, I want boundaries. I don't want to just like, you know, I want to lay down the law. I'm not going to accept her, her name calling and the football head name calling. I don't like it. I don't like your complaining, Helga. I don't want you to be yelling at me and insulting me. And he like shouts out the very specific ways in which he's been really hurt by her. And also, I mean, it does, as Harry, you're saying, it does play into then how he's going about this project. So that's part of the tension in the episode. But I think it's, yeah, now that we're all talking about our points, I think it's such a good episode for, yeah, that growth between them as in their relationship throughout the series.
Well, and it's just so important to like the main idea that like Helga is really Arnold's blind spot, right? Like the whole thing about Arnold is that he is such an insightful person. He can like understand the problems that people have and where those feelings come from, and he helps people navigate them. That's sort of his defining character trait. And then the name of the show is Hey Arnold, right? Because it's Helga trying to get his attention. And it's like she's like the one person that he completely cannot see, even though she's arguably the most obvious version, right? And it's because she is focused on him, right? And he sort of has this blind spot where he can't sort of accept those feelings. So it really creates this, I mean, I think that this really gets at a, like the core dynamic of the show, and really sort of like, litigates Arnold's character as much as Helga, which I think is like often sorely missing, right? Because Helga is the more mature character. She's the more, sort of nuanced or actualized character in her own way. But, It's really cool to see that the other side of the tension is actually something that Arnold maybe has something to do with, right? And I'm not saying that's his fault, right? It's not his fault that he doesn't understand Helga, but it is just the source of a lot of the strife that's happening here.
That is a fact. Dang. Wow. I'll just repeat. Good episodes. Pretty good slate we had this week. Any dangling threads, shout outs, things we didn't get to, miscellaneous thoughts that may be trapped in your noggins that you want to set free into the infinite, vast, full void of space and time? Emily?
Yeah, shout out to Helga saying, a flyer for a lost egg. Just a good line, a funny line. And then also I looked up so I could make sure to shout him out. Harold's voice actor is Justin Schenkerow. We have maybe mentioned him before, maybe not, but he's such a great voice for Harold, and he's done a lot of other work if you look at his Wikipedia or IMDb. Also, shout out to the Shrek Rave. And Cody, I'm glad you mentioned Shrek earlier. We were mentioning raves. Shout out to the Shrek Rave. We'll be recording live from the Shrek Rave, so catch us there.
And curated and emceed by DJ Donkey. I don't know who's emceeing this. Shout out to DJ Donkey if you exist.
I also wanted to shout out the egg flyer. I think it's like, it's so funny as almost like a parody of the show, right? It's like we get to see one of Arnold's cockamamie schemes from Helga's point of view, right? Like she's always the person who like has to make these things happen, like she did back in the Christmas episode or whatever. And it's like, my guy is literally, he put a picture of an egg on a flyer and he's like, have you seen this egg? It's like, come on, Arnold, you have to, you know, you can see Helga's frustration a little bit is all I'm saying, but it was extremely funny.
I just love the scene when they tried to get the egg from the random house. And the guy's like, you got the money, you know? And then he gives him the wrong egg. That was hilarious.
I'm really glad that they got their money back. I couldn't remember that specific part of the episode. I was like, oh, hopefully they don't get stiffed by this guy selling them a bum egg. But all is well that ends well. And they are proud parents, I guess. So shout out to heteronormativity. Still, great episodes. A final shout out. It's too late. It's canon. It's heteronormativity. That's what we're ending on. Dylan, thank you so much again for being here today. Tell us, where can people find you? And is there anything that you would like to plug for the fine folks who are listening at home or on their commute or wherever?
I'm on Instagram at QuiverWingQuack. All one word.
Done and done. You heard it here first, folks. Well, perfect. Thank you again. And thank you, dear listener, for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. That's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvison, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey. Thank you so much, Dylan.
Thank you.
Thank you again to everybody, one and all. Once again, this is Stoop Kids. That's Stoop Kids Podcast. Melts in your mouth, not in your hand.